Has your dentist suggested multiple crowns? Then run out of their office and head to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. Is your dentist not using at least 10 to 20 times magnification when reviewing your mouth and for important procedures? If not, schedule your new patient consultation now with Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. Call 317-776-1100. Want to learn more before calling Dr. Randy Shoup and his team? That's why we do this radio show. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. You can also hear and see a lot more at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to spend another hour with me, because this is where you go to hear information you're never going to hear anywhere else. I'm here to help you become a far more informed, educated, intelligent consumer of all things dental, medical, health, nutrition, and wellness. This is where you go to learn what you need to know in order to make really great decisions for yourself and your family so you live a long and happy and healthy life. It's what we do. So we begin, as always, in Dental School 101. We're going to hold hands, walk down the hall, take our seat in class. What would you do if you took your child in for a simple sealant and a couple of fillings, and you left with your kiddo needing a couple of root canals? Would you be happy about that? Would you be upset? Would you be absolutely incredulous, livid? Yeah, I think you would. I don't blame you. And I'm going to let you know this happened in my office, and I'll tell you the circumstances, but the parents actually thanked me. So here you go. And in Ask the Expert, how many different ways are there to tie your shoes? Now, if you are a fisherman, if you knit, if you are a Boy Scout or a sailor, I've got some new science for you that is going to rock everything you know about one of the most fundamental things you do. And then, of course, I'm going to draw and tell you why all of this is critical to your dental care. Of course, you know I will. And you get to meet Michelle. Michelle's been with me for quite a while, happily, has not needed much dentistry. But the reason that she came to me is because I take an entirely new and different approach towards her overall health. She's going to tell you why that was so important and what in particular I'd said did for her that made all the difference. But first, you know that if they give any new scientific information about the exciting world of poop, I'll have it here for you. Guess what? There's new scientific information about the exciting world of poop. And I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Well, it is true, we can discern a lot about how healthy we are by looking at the things we leave behind, commonly called poop. And this story in particular strikes on two different chords that are something you and I have been talking about for a long time and something that is near and dear to my heart. Listen to this. Researchers discovered that most bacteria in the gut microbiome are heritable after looking at more than 16,000 gut microbiome profiles collected over 14 years from a long-studied population of baboons in Kenya's Amboseli National Park. So there's the connection right there. A, we're talking bacteria and the gut and the microbiome, and we're talking Kenya, all in one article. This is, if I need one more thing and give it a trifecta, but this is really, really cool. But what the research is saying is And this research was done by the University of Notre Dame, and they were doing this research in Kenya in Amboseli National Park. It is a gigantic, huge national park in Kenya. It's utterly gorgeous. But they had studied these troops of baboons for 14 years. They've never had from primates a longitudinal study. What they found was, and what was shocking, is that when we study populations of people here in the U.S., we only study one or two people for a short period of time. They had studied entire families, populations for 14 years. In the study published recently in Science, researchers discovered that most bacteria in the gut microbiome are heritable. In essence, the body can inherit them. You can get them from your ancestors. After looking at more than 16,000 gut microbiome profiles collected over 14 years from a long-studied population of these baboons in Kenya, and by the way, baboons are nasty. They're the scariest things on the planet. They are mean, they're big, and they are fast, and they have some serious canine teeth. I'm telling you, you want to be freaked out, wind up in the middle of a bunch of baboons. The environment plays a bigger role in shaping the microbiome than our genes do, but what this study does is move us away from the idea that genes play very little role in the microbiome, says Elizabeth Archie, who was the professor of the Department of Biological Sciences and principal investigator at the study, who was affiliated with the ESC Institute of Global Health and Environmental Change Initiative. The gut microbiome performs several jobs. In addition to helping food digest, it creates essential vitamins. It assists in training and conditioning your immune system to work correctly. And the new research is the first to show a definitive connection between its ability to be inherited from parent down to child. This really suggests that in human work, part of the reason researchers haven't found heritability is because humans that they have studied don't have decades of total collection of all the fecal material in a freezer like they did with the baboons. So the important part about this is that we thought that there was no genetics that set the stage for the microbiome. We now know at this baboon study, if we had just simply looked at humans for a longer period of time and collected more samples, highly likely we would find that this is true too. So it changes a lot about what we think about the gut. See, when we have one population, one human being whose gut isn't functioning well, we thought it was strictly environmental. You got the wrong bacteria, you ate the wrong food. Now we know that genetically, these people are predisposed or conditioned to have a particular bacteria. It helps us in looking at genetic profiles to tell if somebody is genetically predispositioned to having a defective or a super healthy and robust gut microbiome. So there you have it. We learn more every day. It's really cool. Now, what would you do if you took your child to the dentist for routine fillings and sealants, and the dentist emerged out of the room saying, we need two root canals? Would you be happy? Would you be upset? What would you do? I'm going to tell you what one mom did right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. Just because you've had crowns done by your dentist before does not mean you should have more done. And especially if you've never had a crown. Did you know that you don't need to grind your tooth down to a nub and place a crown on it? That's just a part of what we teach you every week, right here in Dental School 101 on The Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
It's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And this is truly a cautionary tale, a real life situation that happened to me in my office, and it coincides with so many of the pieces of information that you all send to me via the website at ddsradio.com. Thank you very much for sending me your ideas, your questions, your topics that you want me to research. This is one of the most popular ones that we get, and that is, tell me about the sealants or the fillings that you can do or that can be done. Why are your sealants or fillings different? Because my dentist wants to do sealants on my kids' teeth, and why shouldn't I just let them? And this whole constellation of things revolving around this process. So, as it so happens, a new family comes to the practice because they have heard about my new technique and my different way of doing sealants on teeth that protects them and keeps them from getting cavities. And so they wanted to check this all out. So the mom brought in two kiddos from the family, put one of the kiddos in the chair, did the comprehensive exam, and we always use an intraoral television camera, and we shoot high resolution photos of all of the teeth so that we can look at them together on the big monitor, and we can analyze and think about what we want to do. Did that as well for this young man, and there were super deep grooves in all of his teeth. This is genetics. This is inherited. This comes from mom's teeth or dad's teeth or grandmother's or grandfather's or whatever. And the problem with really deep grooves is bacteria gets down in those grooves and really has an easy time setting up decay. This young man had been seen regularly by a regular dentist who had been looking at these deep grooves and noticing the staining, the dark line, the discoloration happening down in these grooves, and informed the mom that they didn't think they were cavities yet. They were just, there was just staining on the tops of the teeth, and they were going to use probably one of the most dangerous words in dentistry. Watch. We're going to watch this. My question has always been, what are you going to watch it do? Are you going to watch it disappear, heal up, and get better? It's never happened in the history of mankind. Are you going to watch it just stay the same? The likelihood of that, if you have a kid who has dark stains in the grooves of his teeth already, that's not how the tooth came in, and that's probably not where the tooth's going to stay, so the likelihood of it staying the same is virtually nil. Or do you watch it get worse? Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. Yes, we always seem to watch it get worse. Dentists have this real problem in that most dentists, when you pick up your drill to drill a hole and fix a cavity, you're going to make a certain size hole. Dentists do indeed have some degree of anxiety about the fact that if they look in there and see a cavity that is smaller than the drill bit, they kind of hate to drill a bigger hole than the cavity just because they know they're drilling a bigger hole than the cavity. But why don't we wait for the cavity to get the same size as the drill bit? Now I don't feel badly about drilling out the cavity because it's the same size as my drill bit. What did we do? We waited and watched while the cavity got big enough that I don't feel guilty making the hole in your tooth. Guess what? I don't take that approach. That's not even in the lexicon of all the things that I even think about or talk about. So we never use the word watch. So this dentist had been watching these teeth, and the mom suggested, why don't we do sealants? And the dentist said, well, that'll be fine on maybe a couple of the molars that are already in. So the dentist did a couple of sealants on a couple of molars, left the rest of the teeth alone to be watched. The mom, spidey senses were kind of tingling, and so she brought the young man in to me. I looked in there and saw decay everywhere because I'm using magnification and the other dentist wasn't. On X-ray, what's called occlusal decay sometimes is really, really, really hard to see. It's hard because the tooth structure hasn't demineralized enough that it's real visible on the X-ray. So you would look at an X-ray and not really have a gigantic, obvious cavity under the filling. You got to do this from experience. You have to do this from knowledge. And you have to do this from the point of you have to have a ton of magnification, like I do, in order to see this. So, young man sat in the chair and I said, Mom, I'm telling you what, these back two molars here, I'm promising you there is a ton of decay underneath the surface of these teeth. I've done this a long time and I've done this millions of times. And I can tell you, we could be into trouble because they've watched this tooth deteriorate over several years now. And we could be having a trip to the root canal specialist. I'll do everything in my power not to do that, but it's a possibility. So Mom said, okay. So we get in, fire up the air abrasion, start cleaning out these grooves, and lo and behold, on the lower back molar on the left, lower back molar on the right, air abrasion, the sandblaster for probably 30 seconds, and boom, opened up this gigantic cave of cavity. Clean all of it out, and I'm staring through my microscope down into the deep recesses of this tooth, and I'm seeing where the nerve should be, and it's not there. It's gone. It has already disintegrated. It's already been eaten up by the decay, and I'm telling you, my heart sunk when I saw that because I knew where we were going. So the young man is numbed up. I wasn't going to take any chances of him having any sensitivity at all. So we clean all this stuff out, get him prepared to send him off to have his root canal. Then I focus my attention on these other teeth, thinking to myself, if this is what I found here, what in the heck am I going to find as I open Pandora's box on all these other teeth? You've already guessed it. Yes, there was extensive decay on all of the other molars. Happily, not such that I couldn't put it back together with my biomimetic techniques, and these teeth will be fine. All the decay was cleaned out. We used dye in order to make sure that we had reached the proper end point, sterilize everything with ozone. We then use a biomimetic sealing technique over the dentin. We then rebuild the teeth with composite. Everything else about this was routine, but he certainly wasn't a kiddo. And I think to myself, what would have happened if Mom would have just said, okay, go ahead and put sealants on all these teeth, and the dentist would have said, oh yes, they'll be fine. We would not be looking at two root canals. We would be looking at probably eight on a 17 to 18 year old kid. And that is basically spelling for this kiddo a lifetime of being a dental cripple. And so one of the things that I want to emphasize for you is if you are with a dentist and you are watching things, don't ever watch them because they're going to do nothing but get worse. Don't watch anything. Fix it. It's either okay, healthy, and good, or it's fixed. There's no watch in the middle of it because watches never get you anything good at the end of the day. If they had treated these teeth when he was 14 or 15 years old, we wouldn't be having this story on the radio right now. His teeth would have been fine, but they didn't. They watched them, and they watched them get worse because they didn't have the magnification and they didn't have the right interpretation of what the data was on the x-ray. So when I walked out of the room and told Mom he only needs 2 root canals, he doesn't need 8, she was actually happy. How can you be happy when your 17-year-old needs 2 root canals? She was, because she knew that I had intercepted the problem that was going to become significantly bigger than what it actually is going to wind up being. Now, yes, he's going to have 2 root canals, and yes, I can put those teeth back together, and no, I am not going to do crowns on any of those molars. Doesn't need them. There's tons of healthy tooth structure there. He'll be fine. But if we had just paid attention, had magnification, and not watched things, this young man would have had to have endured none of these things. So don't get into the watch club, because the only, if you're looking at Bulova's and Rolexes and Seikos, that's the only watch club you want to be in. All right. You don't want to be watch your teeth club, because only thing you'll do is watch them get worse. Now, up next, how many different ways are there to tie your shoes? Or if you're a fisherman or a Boy Scout or a dentist, you're going to want to hear it, because I'm going to give you the dental connection right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. Did you know that most dentists are practicing over 100-year-old tactics? It's regretfully true. And that means they suggest crowns when you don't need them. And many old-school dentists out there do not treat your teeth with microscopic and biomimetic technology. That's why we're here, to inform you, teach other dentists around the world, and help our listeners uncover the dental industry insider truths. This is Ask the Expert on the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And yes, I did say that if you were a fisherman, or if you loved to knit, Girl Scout, Boy Scout, or a dentist, this is going to be an important conversation for you. Why? What do all those things have in common? Knots. All of those people, if you were a sailor, you learned to tie knots. A Boy Scout, you learned to tie knots. If you're a fisherman, you learn to tie knots. If you knit, you basically learn a zillion ways of tying knots. That's what knitting is, basically. You knot a bunch of yarn together. Where's the connection for dentistry? There is absolutely crazy mathematics involved in the whole process of analyzing or describing the process of a knot. How many ways are there for you to tie your shoelaces? And that question seems elementary, it seems childish, it seems juvenile, but actually scientists have been pondering that question for hundreds of years. The whole process of tying a knot is beyond question one of the most complicated things mathematics has to try to solve. How many different ways can you tie your shoelaces? Mathematicians have been puzzling this for at least 2 centuries. And they've discovered that every time they look at it, it becomes more and more complex. One of the reasons that knots give mathematicians so much grief is that because the same knot will come in a variety of guises or forms. For example, a granny knot looks almost identical to a square knot, but it's not. Pardon the pun. And so what we have tried to do is, scientists have tried to dream up, in essence, a machine that can look at or create knots in a particular configuration and understand the variations in the knots and separate them, keep them apart. It's called a knot invariant, this machine. And in 1927, a mathematician by the name of J.W. Alexander created this machine. He created a machine that was able to produce a mathematical formula called a polynomial. If you remember old math, it's like 3 times 2 plus 4x plus 1. And that's how these knots are formed. If you have ever been fishing and cast your line out, only to find that the reel, after the line hits the water, goes berserk, and you wind up with this gigantic wad of fishing line that looks like a huge bird nest. And in I don't care how hard you try, you can't unravel this thing. It seems to be looped and knotted and double looped and backwards and then forwards. And you wind up getting out your scissors or your pocket knife, cutting the whole thing away and starting over. Because these knots can become insanely complicated really, really quickly. There happens to be a physicist whose name is Elizabeth Matsumoto, and she was trained in 2009 at the University of Pennsylvania in physics. She happens to be an avid knitter. And so she was totally involved and knew about all of this stuff called knot, K-N-O-T, knot theory. And so as she was knitting, she had hundreds of knitting styles and knots that she would use, but she came across this one knot that was described to her in an old Japanese textile book, and she was going to knit this Japanese red dragon. And she got her to thinking about the geometry of how this stitching all eventually comes together. The reason that this is important is because if you take a piece of yarn, it's not particularly flexible. You take a piece of yarn and tug on it, it's not going to stretch or be elastic, and it really is only in one dimension. But if you enroll the yarn in a variety of different stitchings or knots, you can make the end product very flexible. You can make it incredibly elastic. You can, for example, you can knit a floor rug with one particular knot pattern, and all the corners of the rug, when you lay it down over time, when you step in the middle, all four corners will curl up. But if you knit that exact same rug, incorporating every other knot a different stitch pattern, when you lay that rug on the floor, walk across it for however long you want, the corners will lay flat. The only difference is you've incorporated a different knot stitching pattern within the rug that changes its physical characteristics. What does this remind you of? Quantum physics. Quantum physics takes the same state, alters it, and lets it become something totally new and different. What does any of this have to do with dentistry? Everything. Because it is exactly this science, the mathematics of these stitching and knot patterns, that has allowed us to create these Kevlar fibers that I use inside of a tooth to reinforce and make the tooth stronger. It is a particular knit woven pattern that they take these Kevlar fibers, which are insanely stiff and rigid, but you weave them, knit them into these knot patterns, and now it becomes incredibly pliable. But at the very same time, it won't allow the fabric to be separated in any way. Why is that important for dentistry? Your tooth won't crack. And that's the number one reason we use these, is to stop the propagation of cracks through teeth. So where do we use them? Really simple. Everywhere. When I take a tooth apart, and I find that the old filling is just deteriorated, particularly mercury silver fillings, they will crack teeth all day long. Take these old mercury silver fillings out, the bottom of the tooth is riddled with fractures. So I can take these Kevlar woven pieces of fabric, place them down in the bottom of a tooth, and bond it to the bottom of the tooth. And I know then that if any crack starts to propagate through the tooth, it will reach these Kevlar fibers and stop. You can't catastrophically crack a tooth in two if you have these fibers in place. The science behind it, for me, is how do I orient these pieces of fabric in the tooth, because there's some directionality to them. You know, you can brush across carpeting one way and it goes flatter, and you can brush across carpeting the other way and the fibers stand up. There's some degree of directionality to them. And then we can take the inside of the tooth and literally wallpaper the inside of the tooth with these continuous rings of this Kevlar fabric. So after somebody has a root canal, you no longer have to have posts drilled down inside your tooth and crowns put on your tooth, because we have these fabric woven knots of Kevlar that we can place down inside the tooth, and because they're woven in a particular way, knitted together in a particular way that utilizes the quantum physics of how these fabrics work, we can make your tooth stronger than it actually was in the beginning, more fracture resistant. That's why, even on root canal teeth, I don't have to do crowns on root canal teeth because I have this Kevlar woven knot fabric inside the tooth, adding structural strength yet flexibility, that Poisson ratio stuff, to the tooth. So all of this new science, all of this mathematics, all of this quantum physics concepts of mathematics on something as simple as knitting allows you, the consumer, to have a tooth that is rebuilt stronger than it probably was originally. It lets you have a tooth that does not have to be decimated, destroyed, all of the structure of your tooth ground away to a little nub, yet you can have a tooth that is perfectly strong, perfectly a duplicate of the way Mother Nature wanted the tooth to be, and it will last you probably as long as you do. And that's the whole point. You shouldn't have dentistry redone all the time, time after time after time. So there's the whole connection between knitting and knots and fabric and Kevlar and putting your teeth back together, whether they've had root canals or not, utilizing this quantum physics exercise in fabric. There you have it. Now, up next, you get to meet Michelle on a serious journey to detoxify everything because she was really, really sick. And she's going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at dtsradio.com. Hundreds of Dr. Randy Shoup's patients have volunteered to be on the Dr. Shoup Show. Why? Because there's a passion to tell their story. And every story has a similar tone.
I am just a fan.
There's simply no other dentist in the Midwest that approaches dental care like Dr. Randy Shoup. We're online at ddsradio.com. And now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Thanks to all of you for being here to listen to the program. I really enjoy it. I'm always honored by that fact. And you know, this is my favorite part of the program because I get to bring to you some of my friends from up at the office, and we get to talk about our experience together. And today, we have somebody that came to me because she's on, was on, is on a journey to really rid herself and make sure she lives as clean, healthy, natural a life program that she possibly can. Michelle, how are you?
I'm wonderful today, Dr. Shoup.
Well, I appreciate all over the place you joining with us and being willing to tell the story. You know, so many people today actually are really concerned about the toxins in the environment, toxins that we take in that we don't even know about. You've been quite a student of this. You've been on a very important toxic, anti-toxic journey. To the level that you're comfortable, please share with everybody kind of how that came about.
Well, it came about in, probably 4 years ago, I suffered a thyroid storm, and the anxiety, I was so bad, and I knew all the toxins were contributing to that, and so, like, one step at a time, I tried cleaning up my food, and then I cleaned up my household chemicals, and then I decided I needed to find a dentist and get everything clean in my mouth, because that's what goes through all my body.
Well, I'm delighted that you found me. Thank you very, very much. I'm sure there's several people out there that don't really understand or know or certainly have an appreciation for what is a thyroid storm. And it's a big deal. Would you mind sharing kind of what it is and how it affected you? Because this is serious stuff.
They had me on thyroid medicine to elevate my thyroid so it doesn't drop too low, they had me on too much medicine, and my thyroid wasn't even on the scale. It was a zero when I went to the hospital, and I couldn't function, and I had to.
It's an incapacitating illness. Your body doesn't work right. It doesn't move. You can't think. Basically, your thyroid is the kind of really the master controller of everything in your body, and it basically quits. And so how did they get, once they got you back out of the thyroid storm and you were kind of more regulated again, what was there that you were thinking about dentally that brought you to me?
That I just needed to, that I wanted to do things naturally. I wanted my body, your body can do so much if you give it the right stuff. And I learned that through healing. And I was just wanting to try to do everything as natural as I could, and I hear your radio show, and I live about 45 minutes from you, but I knew I had to go the distance for my health, so that's what brought me there.
Well, I'm delighted that you did. Thank you very much. And to refresh everybody, we're talking with Michelle today, and she is on a very important journey to rid herself of toxins because the toxins in her environment, her food, dentally, has driven her to where she ultimately wound up with this thyroid storm, which is a debilitating condition that she has. So from a dental point of view, you came up, you heard the weird guy on the radio, you went to his office, and you and I met, and how did that go for you?
It went wonderful, and since then, I've had several family members join me there.
And I can't tell you how it is always a huge honor for us if we have somebody, one of our existing folks, and they feel comfortable enough to send friends or family in. That's a gigantic honor. From your perspective, the things that you and I did together to the level that you're comfortable, talk about how we first started, looked at things, and then our conversations about deciding what to do.
At that point, I've really taken good care of my teeth, so I didn't have a whole lot to do, but I knew that I wanted to do your program so that my teeth always stay healthy.
And you got to meet, you know, the hygiene team, and now you're working with Elena. And I will give you huge kudos. You have done remarkably. You have done a remarkable job at keeping yourself healthy. How do things feel now?
My husband and I tell each other every day how wonderful we feel. It's
how cool is that?
I mean, we and our daughters have even got on board with us.
Wow, that's a big one. Congratulations. You get daughters to follow you on the pathway. Way to go. So where are you now, and what are you guys doing day in and day out for your health, for keeping a significantly reduced toxic exposure?
We use a lot of essential oils. We make our own cleaning products. When we're getting sick, we use homeopathic medicine, so we don't use antibiotics, and turmeric. We use a lot of turmeric.
Yeah, we've discussed several of these really, really great spices, herbs, that sort of thing on the program. Turmeric is one of them that we have discussed at length on several occasions. It really possesses some pretty significant and amazing properties on helping the body to heal and repair.
I use it for my brain. It's really good for the brain.
Outstanding. That's great. So dentally, I think we see each other not too distant future, don't we?
Yes, we do. I come
Yay.
From my 6 month.
Ta-da! Congratulations. Yeah, you've been absolutely brilliant at keeping yourself healthy, everything cleaned up, and I kind of feel lonely. I don't need to do anything for you, which is actually the best compliment that I can give you, because you take care of yourself so well. Hey, Michelle, thank you very much for carving out some time and telling your story. It's an important story that people need to really pay attention to, about how these environmental and food toxins, medication toxins, can really, you know, put you into a horrible situation, and it's a heck of a lot harder to dig out of them than it was to slide into them. I think you would probably agree with that.
Yes, I agree with you 100% on that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you real soon up at the office. Be careful, and thanks again for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I always enjoy doing the hard work to bring this information to you. Be sure to go to ddsradio.com. You have all been so good about giving me your ideas, your questions, your comments, topics that you want me to cover. I'm happy to do all the heavy lifting for you. Just go to ddsradio.com and let me know. You know that I am prepared to go back to Kenya. Yes, we are going the last 2 weeks of November. And so please go to kinddentistry.org. You can get there via ddsradio.com, of course. And give us your donations. Help us fund our backpack school program for the kids and doing all the sealants on all the kids. We really, really appreciate it. So until you and I chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling,